Parshas Tetzave, the very first pasuk, V'yako Tetzave es b'nei Yisrael v'yikhu elecho shemen zayach zoch chosis lamor lahalois ne'er tamid. Until now, the Rebbeinu Shalom gave commands to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Moshe Rabbeinu commanded Klal Yisrael what to do about the Mishkan. Parshas Truma, we had all the things about all the different parts of what has to be built, so on and so forth. All of a sudden, V'ata Tetzaves B'nei Yisrael, V'yikhu Elecho! Moshe Rabbeinu, V'ata is talking to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu has to take Elecho Shemen Zayezach, Moshe Rabbeinu himself. The obvious question is, why did Moshe Rabbeinu have to have a personal involvement in this task of procuring the proper oil for the menorah? Simple question. It says in the Medrash Tanchuma, it says, Shemen Zayach Zos Kosalamar. The oil that was used for menorah came from olive oil that was lightly pressed, rather than crushed. He says the reason for this is that the few drops of oil that came out, each one would be pure from the outset. It shouldn't be that there should be sediment that should be in the oil and then it should be cleansed, but rather it should be pure from the onset. As I state in the Medrash Tanchuma. And he says this qualification of the oil was necessary only for the oil of the menorah, not for the oil used in the mincha, only for the menorah. The Chiddush Yehirim says, he quotes the Gemara Menachos, and Daf Tzadi Tes, he says, if one lanes Shema in the morning and the night, he has fulfilled the Chiyuv that it tells us in the Yeshua that Lo Yomer, that the Torah should not be away from you. V'hogise b'yomim v'layla, you have to learn day and night. Technically, if you read Shema in the morning and the night, he says that's good enough.
Then you yotzi learning for
This is one second. This is it. La yomer shayra. The Gemara says, but the Gemara says this should not be taught to the masses because they might use this as an excuse not to learn Torah. So it should not be taught to the masses. This is just for the people over here. But you can't spread this part. Now they say in the Gemara, gotta keep it to ourselves. Why? Because we're scared. They're going to use it as an excuse. But Lamaisi says you can be yoytze with it.
Who says? Whose opinion is that?
This is the Gemara. It's in the first Gemara. The question is, the Chiddush Yehirim says, how is it possible that by to be yoytze la yomosh, that you shouldn't have a Torah go away from you the entire day? How could you be yoytze by saying Shema in the morning and Shema at night? How are you yoytze learning the entire day? He has your question, the Chiddush. Doesn't understand. He says, we're saying it once in the morning night, you yoytze? He says that his answer is found in our pasuk. How so? It says, lahalois ner tomid. So you have to take for yourself, Moshe should take shemen zayel zoch, he has to take zayel zoch, and it has to be lahalois ner tomid, that it should rise, that it should go up. Lahalois ner tomid, always. When you light a candle, you go and light it. The action is done, but the fire can burn for many hours. When you light the menorah, you have to have in mind that it's something that's going to last. When you learn Torah, if someone that doesn't have the reason why it's not to be taught to the masses is because it's not, oh, I haven't, I can, I'm sitting and learning, I'm sitting the whole day, I'm retired, I have nothing else to do, I don't have any responsibilities, but I'm not going to learn because I already said Shema. Certainly not. Certainly you should learn as much as you can. But someone who can't, he has other tzarchim, he has other things that he has to do, he should still try to learn as much as he can, because learning is going to change the person, is going to change the mahus of the person. But when the Gemara says that he's able to be yoytze this mitzvah, is it that he says Shema in the proper way. Not says Shema, that's not the way he's talking about. But if you say Shema with the purpose, lahalish ner tamid, to light that fire in yourself, that I want to learn the whole day, I can't. Someone is sick and he has to go for this and he has to take care of himself. Someone has to go to work, he has to put food on the table. You know, some things you don't have a choice. We have other things to do, but you want to. You have a brim, halach ner tamid. That's how you yetzer. If you say Shema in the morning, you say Shema at night. But you really want to learn the whole day. That's really what you want. You can't. You have a choice. You still yetzer the mitzvah. That's what the Chiddushim said. You have to do it with this brim. It says in the Shem Shmuel, he quotes a medrash from Pasuk in Yirmiyah, Zay Yisrael and Yofa Pri Toya Kura Hashem Shimcha. Hashem has called your name a leafy olive tree, beautiful with shapely fruit. Kal Yisrael are compared to an olive. Now, the Shem Shmuel says that Kal Yisrael are compared to various trees. Beautiful trees. Why does this Pasuk specifically refer to Klal Yisrael in the Yirmiyah as an olive tree? He says like this: an olive is taken down from the tree, then it is ground, surrounded with ropes, and then stones are brought. Listen carefully. It is only after a lengthy process of being coerced, the forcing there, does the oil actually emerge. It's not a simple process, he says. The Yidden are the same way. Other nations of the world, they cause tzaras to Klal Yisrael. They hit them, they oppress them. And that's what, but that, you know what? By doing that, that brings out the pure oil of Klal Yisrael. What does that mean? Le'elenu, there are so many tzaras in the Goyim, they've oppressed Klal Yisrael throughout the generations. There are times that's what Klal Yisrael needs. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam does it. Because we're not in a good place, maybe. We're not doing what we need to. How can we have pure oil? How can we be pure oil? If sometimes we have to get crushed, we have to have this whole lengthy process, like what happens to Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael are inherently pure and they're worthy. He says that their complacency, when the Klal Yisrael are complacent amongst the nations of the world, their oil is hidden. It causes their oil to be hidden. The oppression of the other nations brings to fruition the beauty of Klal Yisrael that was always really there. So that's a chesed from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, because we hide ourselves. We hide our beauty. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam says, I'm going to bring your beauty out. You see the terrible things and what happened with the Nazis in World War II, and then you hear of unbelievable stories of Yiddish and Neshamas, of what they did. Some people weren't zeicha to that. But we see the pureness, the pure olive oil that came out of some of the tzaddikim, how faced with everything, they were really willing and ready to risk their lives, to put on a pair of tefillin, to do anything. They went, Kiddush Hashem, to the utmost, in the face of death, no fear. Brought out the oppression. Le'elena, we shouldn't know from it. Vaikaret, we have to work on ourselves that we should bring out our own oil, and we shouldn't have to have chas shalom such tzaras like that. But the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, that's also a chesed. How we understand is very difficult. People say, how could God have brought Nazis on us? How could he brought the World War II, 6 million Jews? Our job is not to ask questions, but the Rebbeinu Shel Olam did us a chesed there too. Because he brought out, look what we've built now. We're built on those tzaddikim that went through the Holocaust. They rebuilt Klal Yisrael. They came to America. They went to Eretz Yisrael. They rebuilt. They had this pure oil. It was all pure oil. That's what we were saying to. It says in the Ben Yehuda, Shemin Zayach Zoch Kosis Lamar. He says that why Shemin Zayis? He says the Menorah is Miramis to the Torah. The menorah it's a known thing that the menorah is miramis to the Torah. It says if you're davening and you want to have a schus of Torah, you should face towards the menorah. And if you want a panasa, you should face towards the shulchan. The shulchan represented panasa, really, and the menorah represented Torah. He says like this. Zayas says, why Zayas? What's a Zayas? Why does Zayas represent the Torah? Hashem and Zayas, the menorah is Torah, you have to use Zayas. Why? He says that olive trees, the olives are on the trees all year round. It's not seasonal. Most fruits are seasonal. Zayis is not seasonal. He says, you have to know that the Torah is here, not seasonal. It's not, I'm going to learn now, it's convenient. I'm going to learn now when things are quiet. I'm going to learn in the winter because I haven't been able to learn in the summer because I... No, the Torah is not seasonal. We have to learn Torah at all times, all places and all times. And that's why it's Zayis specifically, not something else. It says in the Yalkut HaUrim, and it says, Va'ata Tetzava, you, Moshe, should command them. Why, what's you, Moshe, should command them? He says like this. The Torah, when the Rebbeinu Shel Olam originally gave it, sent it down, he gave it to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu had the luchos, and he's supposed to bring it to Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael made an eagle. Moshe Rabbeinu saw the eagle, he threw down the luchos were broken, and he had Moshe Rabbeinu went and fashioned psalachosh, ne luchos avonim, Moshe Rabbeinu made new luchos. Had we been zeichet to those first luchos, there would have been no shikha in Torah, which means that the Torah that we would have learned would never have been forgotten. There would be no concept of forgetting Torah. Unbelievable. It's a shame we didn't get that Torah. Unfortunately, the first luchas, that's what it had. Tremendous koyach. The second luchas, it already had shikha. As now, the Torah that we have today. We learn Torah, and we forget it, unfortunately. We have shikha in the Torah. The Gemara says, what's the remedy for shikha? The remedy for shikha is eating olive oil. So therefore, v'ato titzaveh, you Moshe, because you were the one who gave Klal Yisrael the Torah. Unfortunately, the first Torah, the first luchas, Moshe Rabbeinu destroyed because of the chet ha'egel. But the second luchas, the one that Moshe brought down, there was now shikha in the world. V'ato titzaveh, so v'chulev, shemen zayizach, the antidote against the shikha, the Torah is shemen zayiz. It says in Rabbeinu Yoyo that the gematria of Tetzave is Noshim Tziva. He says this is a remez to the concept that generally the lady of the house, when it applies, she lights the menorah, the Shabbos candles, she lights the Shabbos candles. And he says this, and that's also this menorah, the same concept of menorah, is a reference to Torah. And that's why there's a song that people sing, a famous song now, from Baruch Levin, V'zakeni legadel, Bonim uvneivonim, that it should be zeicha, that should have children, that can learn Torah, that should be able to have an effect on the world, the Torah, is that's the time to daven for that, because of that concept. It says in the Kol Rom, from Moshe Feinstein's Zatzal. Rashi says Shemen Zayazos Bezoch Menachos, he says, is Lav Zoch. Menachos don't have to be Zoch, pure. Why? The oil of Menachos, which we eat, that oil doesn't have to be pure, while the oil of the menorah, which we light, has to be pure. He says, you would think it's the opposite. What we're going to eat should be pure, what we're going to light doesn't have to be so pure. He says, no, you're exactly wrong. The menorah represents the Torah. When you talk about ruchnius, you have to be pure. You have to work on everything being pure. Your food doesn't have to be so good. Your food can have sediments in it. Of course, it's kosher, it has to be. But it doesn't have to be the best in everything. Torah, you have to work on it, that the oil has to be perfect. It has to be perfected. Now, ruchnius, we shouldn't accept subpar. We shouldn't say, yeah, listen, yeah, it's not so good, it could be better, but you know what, this is what it is. That we got to work on. If your sushi is not so good and it could be better, you don't have to be worrying and I got to get better sushi next time. That's not necessary. Perhaps we can understand what's going on over here. Moshe Rabbeinu. This is Moshe Rabbeinu himself. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu for 40 days he forgot the Torah. And the 40 days, Rosh Hashanah B'chesed, he was up in Shemayim for 40 days. And every day he forgot it. He learned it the whole Torah, and he forgot it. The 40 days with Chesed, the Rosh Hashanah gave him the Torah to keep, and now he had a kiyum in it. Amelos b'Torah, you gotta work on it. You can't think things are just gonna come to you. V'ata, you Moshe, v'tetzaves, b'nei Yisrael, command Klal Yisrael, v'yikhu elecha. You have to be involved, Moshe Rabbeinu. Why you specifically? Because you have to show Klal Yisrael that there's no shortcuts. You have to do it yourself. Don't say, I don't have to do it, I'll do this, I'll do that. No, you gotta do it. You have to learn, you have to learn, you have to learn, you have to work on it. You can't try to take shortcuts. That's the message over here. So interesting story. There was once a from person who went to the Brisker Rav, and he asked him if he should join a certain organization that was comprised of people whose views were against the Torah, Hashkafa, against Torah philosophy. The man thought that if he become part of this group, he'd be able to change them. So he'd be able to perhaps sway their opinions of antagonists and create harmony amongst Klal Yisrael, amongst this faction that was anti. That's why he wanted to attend these meetings and raise his voice to say, no, you're missing the Torah outlook. Riskirov told him, don't get involved. Stay away. The man decided, I'll ignore the brisket rub. I know better. I'm going to make a change. And he got involved. He started going to the meetings. Says within a few months, he got himself into a little bit of a problem because of all the policies and the actions that these people were taking that were completely skewed, not towards the Torah, and it was all being linked to him. It was creating very bad feelings amongst him and all his friends. He was still going to shul, and people were giving him dirty looks, and he was becoming to feel very uncomfortable because he was part of this group. And he was speaking out, but no one was listening to him. But now he was just associated with this group.
And he was starting to change?
Hmm?
Was he changing?
That's not the story.
No.
Not how
but
story.
People looked at him differently.
People looked at him differently because they saw him as part of the group.
Uh-huh.
So it seems that for some reasons he felt that he couldn't just leave. He had some sort of commitment to this organization. He couldn't just say, have a nice day, sayonara, I'm out of here. He couldn't say that. He didn't know what to do. How is he going to regain his reputation in the Torah community? He was known as a person of a chashuva status, and all of a sudden now he's looked upon and said, they didn't give him shlishi anymore. Or shishi, they said, you don't even, nothing. He was getting shvi, whatever it is, something worse than that. So he went to the brisket rav. He admitted to him that I didn't take your advice. But what should I do? How do I get out of this? So the brisket rav told him the following story. There was a young man who aspired to become a wagon driver. He approached a seasoned wagoneer, someone who drove wagons, rode wagons, and he began training under him. After a few weeks, the guy says, okay, I'm ready to be certified. I want you to give me a smicha. I want you to say I'm an official certified wagon driver. I know what I'm doing. So the guy tells him, the wagoneer says, before you're going to get this certificate from me, I gotta ask you a few questions of what would you do in a certain situation. The guy says, okay, go ahead, shoot. Tell me, go ahead, I'll answer all your questions. He asks him, let's say you decide to take a shortcut one day and you deviate from the main highway. You cut through a forest on a very muddy trail, sort of like the snow outside. You're going to get stuck. Your wheels become stuck in the mud and you have two passengers sitting in the back who become agitated. They're getting, what's going on over here? The horses are sitting there struggling and kicking up mud, and they're trying to pull out of the mud and they're not getting anywhere. They're just stuck and they just keep on making a bigger hole for themselves. What do you do? The guy, the young driver, looks up, says, it's pretty easy. First, I take some wooden planks and try to get them under the wheels. The wagoneer says, ha-ha! You made a terrible mistake. The guy says, why? That's the right thing, what do you mean? He said, the guy says, why? I follow procedure in a precise manner. That's the procedure. If you go look in the book, the textbook, it says if you get stuck in the mud, you should put the planks underneath. I'm doing it exactly as I said. How could you say I'm doing it wrong? The old man sighed and said, your mistake was very simple. You don't take shortcuts into muddy forests. That's the answer. Shortcuts sometimes are not shortcuts. In life, we try to take shortcuts. We take an English, not that there's, I'm not talking out against English Gemaras. Sometimes they're very helpful, but it doesn't mean you shouldn't do a Amelis. It doesn't mean you should take out an English Gemara and just read the English and now I got it. You gotta work on it. You gotta have a Amelis. It's not a shortcut that's gonna get you anywhere. You wanna get further. You wanna, how does a person change from Torah? A person changes from Torah with a Amelis for Torah. He works on Torah. If you're gonna sit back always and you're gonna relax and you're gonna read some English stuff and read a nice book and relax, that's not a Amelis for Torah. There's no shortcuts. The author of the Tzav is B'nai Yisrael, the Yikhwilech Hashem and Zayach Zoch, Kosses Amal HaHazad, no, you Moshe Rabbeinu show them. Amelis, Moshe Rabbeinu himself had to do Amelis B'Tayr. He got it from the Rebbeinu Shalom himself. He still needed Amelis B'Tayr. A little later in the parasha, talks about the tzitz. And the pasuk says, V'hoyo Ametzach Aharein, Minosa Aaron es Avoin Akadoshim Asher Yagishu Bnei Yisrael L'chol Matnos Kodshehem V'hoya Al Mitzchoy Tomin L'ratzen Lahem L'chnei Hashem. It's going to be on Aaron HaKoyin's forehead always, Tomin, always L'ratzen Lahem L'chnei Hashem. What does Rashi say? Rashi says, I can't be that Aaron's on this for 24/7. He's going to see. Kohen Gadol had 8 begadim, one of them was like a band over here, and it said Kodesh Lashem. It's called a tzitz. So Aaron, Rashi says, it can't be that it was on his for all time. It only was on his forehead during the avoda. When he did the avoda, it was on his forehead. It has to always be that he wanted to be l'ratzis, that it should be acceptable before Hashem. That was always, it has to be the thought. The person, even if he wasn't doing the avoda, but he had to always be constantly thinking about it, how it's going to affect the kapara. Somehow, this tzitz affected the kapara. Now the question is why is it tzitz pashut? The question is, why is Rashi saying is that it doesn't mean it has to be on his heart all the time, but it has to be on his mind all the time. The Reb Chaim says, that it says on the tzitz, the words Kodesh Lashem were engraved into the tzitz. It said in the tzitz, it said Kodesh Lashem. He said the word Kodesh is synonymous with Klal Yisrael. It says in the Pasuk, in Yirmiyah, Kodesh Yisrael Hashem Reishis Tivuasei. Yisrael is Kodesh Hashem, the first of his crops. He says the words Lashem imply that the nation is completely devoted to the Ribbono Shel. If Klal Yisrael is completely devoted to the Ribbono Shel, then the Ribbono Shel will accept their offerings even if it's not perfect. Which means that a person davens to the Ribbono Shel Olam, even if it's not pure, but the Ribbono Shel Olam sees at his heart, he really wants to do the will of Hashem. He just has certain things that are holding him back, but the will of Hashem he wants to do, so the Ribbono Shel Olam will accept it because we are the Ribbono Shel Olam's nation. It says in the Be'er Moshe, you should make a tzitz of pure gold and engrave it in the manner of a signet ring, Kodesh Lashem. That's what it said. It says, Klai Yisrael HaKodesh, says in the Pasuk, Va'anshei Kodesh Tiyu Li, Baruch Shalom says, you Klai Yisrael be to me, meant of holiness to me. He says, although Klai Yisrael might do Averis, and they may be brazen, Klai Yisrael is known as a brazen nation, the Azus. He says that the true will to do is always the Ratzon Hashem. And that's why we say, when it says in the Halacha, that if a person refuses to do a mitzvah, they would force a yid to do a mitzvah until he said he wanted to do it. He didn't want to go sit in the sukkah. They would force him. They would beat him until he said he wanted to do it. How does it work? He doesn't want to do it. You have to have kavanah. He doesn't really want to do it. So the Rambam, others say, every yid really wants to do it. Of course you want to follow the will of Hashem. But we have taivis. We want to do this instead. We're lazy.
Do they actually do that?
In times of Bezdin, that's what it says. Well, we want to do it. Of course we want to follow the Ratzon Hashem. But sometimes we don't have a choice. We have a choice. We always have a choice. But if we feel we don't have a choice because the Yetzer Hara overpowers us and we have kaivis, so we have obstacles. We're lazy. I don't really want to go. But really, every yid really wants to do the Ratzon Hashem. And he goes weiter. He says, Klal Yisrael are engraved on the signet ring of the Melech Malchim Lachem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They always have the opportunity to be accepted to the Ribbono Shel Olam. I don't exactly know what this means. We're talking about Divrei Kabbalah, but the point is there that we should know. It says in the Gemara Eichon that the tzitz is mechaper for actions of those who are brazen-faced. Azus, like we said. It says in Rabbeinu, in the Zohar Kodesh, he says that, Kol oisim azei parnim she'en lehem busha, if someone is an azus parnim and he's not embarrassed, ein lehem busha, ein lehem chelik bo'olam hazeh bo'olam haboh, he has no portion in this world or the next world. He says, that when Klal Yisrael, Zohar says, when Klal Yisrael would look at the tzitz, he said that the Shem Hashem on the tzitz was brightly illuminated. B'derech Nes. It wasn't that there was a light bulb that was in there, but B'derech Nes, the tzitz was brightly illuminated, the Shem Hashem was brightly illuminated. When one would gaze at the tzitz, the fear, the year of the Ribbono Shel Olam would enter him, and he'd be machni himself to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That would cause them to obtain that kapara. The Mizrahi is explaining how does it work that the tzitz is mechaper on the mice of Azepanim, even those that had azos, they were brazen faced. I could do what I want, or I'm a nation of Azus, but that's what caused, affected the Kapara. says in the Rabbeinu Shlomo Asterik, V'ahiyah Mitzchay Tamid L'Ratzin, the word Tamid is a remnant of the continuous Hashgacha from the Rabbeinu Shlomo without interruption. From the beginning of the year till the end of the year, the Rabbeinu Shlomo is watching over everything. You have to realize at all times, Tamid, the Rabbeinu Shlomo is here. And we think that the Rabbeinu Shlomo went away on vacation, he went to Florida, it's the middle of winter, Chas V'Shalom, the Rabbeinu Shlomo never takes vacation. The Rabbeinu Shlomo runs this world completely and always. It says in the Chochmas HaTorah, it says in Vayikin Rabbah, Mi hikti meni v'ashalim, who shall precede me and I shall pay him? He explains like this. If we do a mitzvah saseh, we go sit in a sukkah, you get a mitzvah. You pick up a lulav and esrog, you shake it, you get a mitzvah. You wear tzitzis, you get a mitzvah. You put a mezuzah on your house, you get a mitzvah. What do you mean you get a mitzvah? What do you get schar for? Who gave that to you? You have an opportunity to have it. God gave it to you. God gave it to you. He gave you the sukkah. He gave you the money to go buy the sukkah. If God doesn't want you, you don't have anything. Without God, you have nothing. So why do you get a mitzvah? You shouldn't get anything. You should get no schar. Well, I get schar. If I did a mitzvah, I get schar. He says, you shouldn't. Says the Reyamim, Ki mimcha hakol miyotchanas loch. David HaMelech tells Rabbeinu Shalom, everything is from you. Everything is from you, and from your hand I gave to you, I'm giving back to you. When we get stuck, we think we're giving ours. It's not really ours, it's only Rabbeinu Shalom. He gave it to us, that, and we have nothing. He says, but there's one thing that can say that maybe you get schar. And what is that? Your thoughts. If you say that your thoughts are what you're getting this schar for, so that's yours. The Rabbeinu Shalom gave us one thing that we're in control of, our thoughts. We think we're in control of our actions. We think that we have the certain things that we're going to control. We're not in control of that. We're in control of just our thoughts. So if that's the case, you're in control of your thoughts. L'ratzon lifnei ha'lohem lifnei Hashem, the Pasuk tells us. We have to always focus that. That's the ikkar of what we have in this world, our thoughts. If we focus on our thoughts and we say, I want to do this, and don't just do it by happenstance. Because if you do it by happenstance, then you're not entitled to anything, schar, because it's not yours. The Rebbeinu Shlom gave it to you, you did it, but you didn't have any thoughts. But if you think about it, you give your heart to the Rebbeinu Shlom, and he says, I want to do this mitzvah. It's a mitzvah that I want to be part of. And this is what I want to serve the Rebbeinu Shalom. So that's good. That's what will give you your schar. It says in the Shach HaAltayer that one who is an Azus does not have Yer Shemayim. If you're Azus upon him, then you don't have Yer Shemayim. We say in the morning, many say, Reishis Chochma Yeres Hashem. The very first thing in wisdom is Yeres Hashem. Reishis Chochma Yeres Hashem. So having Yiras Hashem and being humble is the most important midah of all which one must possess. The gematria of tzitz is equal to ketz, the end. The Shach HaAltayer says is the end of all midas, which means is that you can have all your beautiful midas, and at the end of all of them, you have to have the midah of anava. Because if you don't have the midah of anava, then the rest are worthless. Nothing else matters. Everything else gets swept under the table, it's irrelevant. It says in the Chassam Sefer, it sounds terrible. Klal Yisrael are a nation of Azus Panim, and at the same time we're sitting here saying, Azus is bad, Azus is bad, we're going to be in trouble, you're not Yiras Hashem, what's going on over here? We're a nation of Az. Zogt Chassam Sefer, Az can also be good. If you direct the Azus towards your Ratzon Hashem, towards your Avodas Hashem, if you direct your Azus towards the Avodas Hashem, so then it's good. How so? What does that mean? Put down in the first in Shulchan Aruch that a person should not be embarrassed in the very first, they open up a Shulchan Aruch at the very beginning, Simon Aleph, an Aruch Chaim. Person shouldn't be embarrassed. You have an opportunity to do a mitzvah, you have an opportunity to daven. I can't daven, I'm embarrassed. There's a guy watching, I can't daven now. I mean, let's assume you have 2 minutes to this Ma'am Mincha, there's no minion around, I can't daven. I mean, I'm going to go in there. Be embarrassed. Someone says, what are you doing? You're a Jew. Why are you wearing a yarmulke? Why are you doing that? No! That's where you have to have the Azus. The midah of Azus could be a good midah if it's done to further your Avodas Hashem, not Azus towards your Rebbeinu Shel Chas V'Sholom. You have to realize that you have to always be humble. You have to always say, I'm nothing compared to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. I'm a nothing, I'm a nobody. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam gave me everything. He gave me the food, he gave me my sukkah, he gave me everything. But you can give the Rebbeinu Shel Olam one thing you thought. That is what's going on over here. Your person, the tzitz, tamid l'ratzon lahem lefnei Hashem, it has to always be there. The tzitz, like we said, the illumination of the words kadosh l'Hashem, illuminated. People, wow, they were like taken aback. You're able to see, you can feel the Kedusha of the Rebbeinu Shalom Kain. We have to always remember to be humble. We always have to remember that we have to be Azus at some point, and we have to be humble the rest of the time. Humble is very important, but you can't say, I'm not going to do that because my neighbor is going to say this, and my other guy is going to say that. If Terry says to do something, and it's a mitzvah, and it's a power, of course you shouldn't make Chil Hashem. But we're talking about where you do something, some people think it's a Chil Hashem. No. If the Terry tells us it's a mitzvah, and you're going to say, oh, it's a Chil Hashem, that's not a Chil Hashem. The Torah tells you to do it, then we do it. That's where others has to come in, and the rest of the time we have to have the midah of hanava, of humbleness, and realizing that everything comes from the Baruch Shem. Have a good chance.